How awesome to appreciate our mothers on this Mother's Day. Hallelujah. You know, I read it somewhere. It says, you know, dads may be the head of the home, but moms are the heart. They are the heart of the home. And a mother, somebody defines a mother as she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. Hallelujah. That is awesome. That is awesome. So we appreciate you genuinely this morning. We thank you for all that you are doing for your children and grandchildren. And I just want to echo the words of Nikki as well. Some of you, you know, it's a difficult day today. Maybe your moms, you know, have been to be with the Lord, or they are far away, or you have lost a child, or, you know, you're just going through one challenge or the other with your children. We just want to encourage you this morning. As Nikki said, the Lord is with you, and the Lord is with them. He's going to walk alongside you and bring you comfort in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to appreciate our kids one more time. How awesome was that prayer of blessing? They put in much effort, and this one was really a bit challenging because we didn't want to send the video home to practice. We wanted it to be a surprise. So, don't you think they did a great, great job? So thank you. Thank you for those prayers. We receive it. We receive your blessing in the name of Jesus. So who is ready to go into the God's Word this morning? I love the Word of God. You know, it provides guidance for our lives. The Bible says the Word of God is spirit and their life. So I want you to rise up to your feet this morning as we declare the supremacy of God's words in our lives. So you are going to hold your Bible. You are going to lift it up high with confidence, and you are going to say, "This is my Bible. It is God's word to me. It is true, infallible, and can be trusted at all times. As I hear God's word today, I declare that my heart is receptive. My mind is open because of the light from his word. I take only right steps. I make only right decisions. I say only right things. I leave this place a better person than I came, transformed forever by the power of his word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen." Have your seat in God's wonderful presence. And those Bibles, I want you to open it to my main text this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Help me, media team, this morning. I forgot to bring my glasses, so I'm going to read from there. I can see that clearly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 14 is what we're going to start with this morning. Verses 9 to 14. I'm going to read from verse 9. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 9. Yes, we are getting there. Okay, I think I got it here. "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Verse 12. "Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you," like mothers on this Mother's Day, right? "Who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you." Verse 13, "Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." And the last verse says, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into your word again this Mother's Day and to receive hope from your word. We ask, oh God, that you speak to every heart here this morning. Echo my words. Talk through me. Think through me today, oh God. Let them not see me talking, oh God, but let them hear you talking to their hearts in the name of Jesus. We ask your blessing upon everyone, not just only our mothers this morning. Let this word be an encouragement to each and every one of us here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. So there's a verb in you know, I think it appears twice in the passage of the scriptures I read to you this morning. This verb is a very important one we have been commanded to do in the Bible. All those things I read to you, it says, do it, right? Remember, the word of God is inspired, you know, is inspired by God. Those men of old that wrote this word, they were inspired. So this is God's word telling us to do it. So it's not just the Ten Commandments, right? This is a command. This word I'm talking about is a word that gives hope. It's a word that, revitalizes. It's a word that gives energy. It's a word that brings life. In fact, I love the way John Maxwell put it. He says, this word is an oxygen for the soul, an oxygen for the soul. It provides the fuel to move on. It helps us through times of discipline, of testing, of trial. It's a word that helps us not to fall into the deceitfulness of sin. That word is the word encourage. Can you say with me, encourage? It is a verb, so it's something we have to do, right? English students, it's a doing word, encourage. And that's why the title of my message this morning is Encourage One Another. Let's look at verse 11 again, from the verses I read this morning. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Just as in fact you are doing. So some of us this morning are already doing it. But the question is, are we doing it the right way? Are we doing it when we are supposed to do it? Are we doing it with purpose in mind? Are we doing it intentionally? Hallelujah. And like Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another when? Sometime? Once a week? Once a month? Daily. Are we doing it daily? Can we confidently say we are encouraging others daily? As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So when we encourage, we actually keep people from falling into sin, the deceit of sin. Hallelujah. That is profound. Hallelujah. So we've been asked to encourage. We've been asked to do it intentionally, to do it with purpose, to do it daily. This word encourage is from a word, a Greek word in the New Testament called parakaleo. Parakaleo. Can you say it with me? Parakaleo. You're not supposed to, you don't have to memorize that in your mind, okay? I just asked you to say it for fun. But what I want you to remember is that word is made up of two words. You know, that one word is made up of two words. The first part is para. Para means beside, near, alongside, right? Kaleo means to call or someone, to invite, right? So parakaleo means to call someone, to invite someone to walk alongside, to be beside, to be near, right? And this word is defined in the dictionary as to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. It is a compound with the prefix N, E-N, right? And courage. So when you think about encourage, we're thinking about courage, right? And courage, which means to put into the word courage means confident. To put into courage, to put into someone courage. That means to put into someone confidence, to make someone brave, to infuse strength into someone. So it literally means to put courage into someone. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's interesting that this word commands us to encourage one another. That means we can do it, right? That means we can do it. Why do we encourage? Because we can do it. We've been equipped to do it. God is not going to ask us to do what we've not been, equipped to do. He's saying that you can do it, and you can do it daily. Praise the Lord. In the world that we live in, especially, a few years ago, we all know what happened, COVID and everything, there was shutdown, people were discouraged, people lost their jobs, sicknesses, a few years after that we are now, we are still experiencing some of the aftermath of that. And different things happen to us in life that causes us to be discouraged. As you know, discourage is the opposite of encourage, right? You don't have that courage or strength or hope to continue what you are doing or to start something. You know, you just want to give up. You just don't want to do it anymore. Or you just feel like, what is the point? You know, am I that relevant? Am I that important? You know, so many things happen to us that make us to be discouraged. Let's look at some causes of discouragement this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5 says, when we arrived, this is Paul speaking here, in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction. With battles where? I want you to preach with me this morning. Battles on the outside. And fear on the inside. People you meet every day, you might not even see the battles they are facing outside, but there's a lot of battles going on the inside. Hallelujah. On the inside, we have our own thinking. You know, thinking, thoughts of, I'm not good enough. For our mothers this morning, I'm not enough. There's this I have to do that I'm not doing, you know. So that brings discouragement. Hallelujah. It brings discouragement. What about the words of others? Battles on the outside. The words of others. Some students, you know, I've heard of people that said that, oh, my teacher, when I was in, I'm talking about grown people, right? That my teacher, when I was in, you know, year one or year two, told me that I can never be anybody. And they grow up and they still think about those words. One negative word, you know, can stay with you forever. Hallelujah. So those things causes discouragement, the words of others. And what we actually go through, the battles on the outside, financial troubles. Some go through family, you know, family situations, physical illness, broken relationships, battle in our health, ministry. Ministry, in fact, Paul kind of illustrates the work of ministry. You know, he put it alongside peril and accidents, and that is how difficult the work of ministry is. Battles in our spiritual life. You want to serve God, but you don't have the will, you know. You are discouraged, especially with things that are not going right. You've prayed and prayed and prayed, but things are not changing. We're talking about relationships, broken relationships, family, finances, all sorts of things. As students, you prepared so hard for that exam, the result, you know, came out and you failed. And you just lose courage to continue. That was the point. You just don't give it, you know, that attention that you used to give to it anymore. Praise the Lord. There are discouragement everywhere. And that is why we need to be careful to judge people. You don't know what people are going through. You know, a very good example that came to my mind, I was trying to get something at work from someone, you know, sent several emails and all that, and I was getting angry, you know, that this person is getting paid for their job, right? You know, I was ready to, like, you know, send an email and copy everyone. You know that email that you CC, the manager, I was ready to do that, but something just kept telling me not to, you know. And then I sent a text message, you know. Fortunately, I found his number through somebody. And I sent a message to him that this is so unlike you. What is going on? I've been asking for this. It's delaying my project. And this person was going through terrible family situation, you know, that he couldn't even share with anyone. You know, imagine if I've copied everybody and just tarnished his image. You don't know what people are going through. And that is why it is important that we observe this commandment to encourage one another when it is called today. Praise the Lord. I told you benefits of encouragement. It gives hope. Let's look at Hebrews 3:13 again. It says, but encourage one another daily as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the sin deceitfulness. That is what encouragement can do. We have all been called to encourage. I'm not talking about, you know, in Romans 12:8, I believe, it talks about the ministry of encouragement. It was saying that if you have the gift to serve, serve. The gift of help, the gift of encouragement. There are people that are actually gifted to be an encourager. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about the fact that we can all encourage. Praise the Lord. What comes to my mind in the Bible is a person called Joseph. Joseph. This Joseph guy was one of the people that the Bible actually recognized as an encourager. In fact, the disciples gave him a nickname called Barnabas. Barnabas literally means son of encouragement. Where after Paul's conversion, right, he came to Jerusalem. He wanted to just join the disciples and become part of the church. Imagine, this is the same person that has been arresting and bringing people to be killed, Christians to be killed. And he just came one day and walked into the church and say, oh, I've given my life to Jesus. So they were scared, like, okay, is he just, making things up? They weren't sure whether he was genuinely or he was trying to come to arrest them again. But this Barnabas was the one that brought Paul to the church, was the one that encouraged everyone to accept Paul. And you see it in different places where this Barnabas encouraged. He was called the son of encouragement. What about Mordecai? You remember Esther's story, the queen? Mordecai was the greatest encourager for Esther. That's why this morning, what Mordecai said to Esther, he said, do you know if you don't do anything, you as a queen, if you don't do anything, think about it. Maybe God has put you here for such a time like this. And even if you don't do anything, I know God will raise up someone else. I know it seems harsh, but I'm telling you, to me, that is a word of encouragement, that you are here for a reason. He had to, that's why encouragement is not words of flattery. It's not just empty praise, right? Is you telling someone that you can do this. If you don't do this, sometimes you might need to say that. If you don't do this, this is what can happen with the choice you are making. But I believe in you that you can do it. I will fast with you. That's Mordecai did. Fasted, called everybody to fast with him. That is an encourager. I can go on and on and on and give you different examples in the Bible. But I like this quote. Interestingly, I like listening to TED Talk. Interestingly, I came across this TED Talk, and this lady was talking about encouragement. And she said, encouragement is not flattery or empty praise. It is like verbal sunshine. It costs nothing. At least in my own words, it costs next to nothing, okay? Because sometimes encouragement means you give, financially, right? I'll get to that in a minute. It says it warms the heart of others and inspires them with hope and with confidence. I love that phrase. It's a verbal sunshine. You are lifting people up from the hook of depression, of discouragement. You are telling them that it is not over until it is over. That the person writing their life story, as long as it's not dropped the pen, the story continues. You are telling them that all things will work together for their good. Praise the Lord. That is what we are doing. So how do we do this task effectively is a big question. We know encouragement is good. We have been called to do it because we have been equipped to do it. How do we do it effectively? Before I go into that, I want to first remind you, the basis of doing this task is the truth of God's word. Look with me to Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 verse 4. The basis of our encouragement of doing the task of an encourager is the truth of God's word. He says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Through the encouragement of the scriptures. The best way to encourage people is when you have the truth of God's word as your basis. I'm not talking about you just looking for verses and quoting scripture all over to people. That is acceptable if there's a scripture that is prompted in your heart. But the basis of it should be what you've learned through the word. You can just test someone and say you are enough. But you know the reason why you are saying that, right? It's because God says they are enough. So I just want to say that is the basis. But two ways we can do this task effectively. Number one is through our words. With our words. With our words. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say, your words, be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let your word not be the word of discouragement. Let it not be the word of putting people down. Let it not be the word of just finding negative. There is no perfect people. There's no perfect children, okay? But when we focus on the negativity and the things people are still working on, you know, it's like you are bringing more discouragement to that person. He says, let your word be words that build up. The words that build up. Words that encourage them when they hear those words. And the way I want you to apply it, you know, is, you know, you praise. You praise. When you see somebody doing something that is good, you praise. For husbands here this morning, for wives this morning, you see your wife doing something, you know, you see your husband doing something good, praise them for it. You don't have to go to Gucci to go buy a Gucci bag, right? You know, but you can actually say it. In fact, how many people knows Pastor Craig Groeschel, Life Church? They put together the Bible app, right? I love the way he put it. He says, anytime you think about something good about someone, say it. Don't just think it. Say it. Say it. Let that person, you know, the words have to come out for that person to be encouraged. You can't be thinking of someone and you're thinking you're encouraging them, right? They need to hear it. You need to say it. When you think of someone, you need to write that down. When you think of something good about someone, say it. And the second way with our word is the promises. You remember I said the word of God is the basis of our encouragement. We need to remind people of God's faithfulness in his words. Praise and promises. Remind them that God is faithful. Remind them of the promise of God in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. That is how we encourage people. Text them. We are all over social media, right? Put a word of encouragement on your page. You don't know who will see that one day, you know, and just say that word is for me. You know, make use of the resources that we have. Praise the Lord. The word, our words, our word, maybe in the form of a spoken or written, right? Today is Mother's Day. I want you to call your mom, wherever they are. Those of you that still have moms, call them. Tell them how much you thank them, how much you are grateful for them. You know, think about something. This morning, I was just thinking of, you know, so many things that my mom did, you know, that I'm going to talk to her later in the day because of the time difference. I'm going to remind her. I'm sure she will have forgotten, you know. Those times, you know what I'm talking about, is when we become parents that we start to appreciate, you know, what we put our parents through. Those late nights out when they're staring out at the window, waiting for you to come home, right? Those times, you know, you think you know it all and you don't want to listen. Hallelujah. So, our words. And the second one is talking about praise. You know, I read a story. So this man, you know, in those days, wow, they deliver newspapers in front of the houses, right? And this man opened the door one morning and there was a dog, you know, a random dog from the neighborhood was holding his newspapers. So the dog has brought that newspaper in and he was so impressed. So he went in and got some treat and gave it to the dog. Few minutes later, he came out, and the same dog is back with like 10 newspapers. So he had to go back to his neighbors and be giving them their newspapers. That is what encouragement does. That is what praise does. It kind of gives fuel to that person to want to do more. Praise the Lord. And the second way, our actions. I'm talking of our actions, our presence. Present. The gifts that you give, right? Think about someone. It doesn't have to be expensive. I'm thinking of you today. A card, you know? Just, you know, appreciate your children. It can be people in your workplace, right? Bake a cupcake and bring it in one day. I just want to appreciate you, my team, today. You know, you've been fantastic, you know? That's what I'm talking about. Giving of yourself from the bottom of your heart. That was one of the things Barnabas did. The Bible says he actually sold his land and brought the money to the apostles' feet for the work of ministry. That is an encouragement. And so many people in the Bible helped Paul in ministry, right? They would write a letter and say, I want to thank you, the Corinthians. I want to thank you. They were actually the fuel that got him going. Praise the Lord. And the second one, your presence. Your presence. Your presence to support. Your presence to pray for someone. The Bible says, you know, confess your fault to one another. The prayer of a righteous person has tremendous power. Praise the Lord. He says, you know, your presence. The first one is your presence under action and your presence. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. We read a little bit of it before, but now 2 Corinthians chapter 7 from 5 to 7 is what I want to read right now. He says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. They were discouraged, right? He says, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encourages us by the arrival of who? The arrival of Titus. Hallelujah. Verse 7. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you when he told us how much you longed to see me, how sorry you are for what had happened, and how loyal you are to me. I was filled with joy. Your presence can bring joy and encouragement to people. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. You hear someone is unwell, you know, don't only just stay in your bedroom and pray for them. You know, text them and say, can I visit you and spend a few minutes with you? Can I take you out for coffee? You know, their presence, you know, imagine when you're recovering, everyone's gone to work, you're just in your house. That's when the battles, the fears on the inside start. Imagine someone knocking on your door and I just want to sit with you today. I was thinking of you today. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews 10. I love the way Hebrews 10 puts it. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. But do what? Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know what that tells us? That when we come to meet together like this, we have come to encourage one another. So never neglect coming in like this on a Sunday, on a Wednesday when we come together for prayer meeting. You are coming to give encouragement to someone by your presence, and you are receiving encouragement by the presence of other people that have come as well. And the same thing in Romans 1. We're not going to open there. Paul was saying, telling the Romans, I long to see you. So that our faith can build our mutual faith can be built up. We can encourage one another. I'm longing to come to you. Paul was always longing to come, to go and visit the churches he planted, because he knows that his presence will bring encouragement, that he's still here, that you're looking at that person next to you this morning. They are still here serving the Lord. It gives you courage to keep going in your own faith. They are still here. They are still here. You are still here as well, encouraging some other people. Praise the Lord. And sometimes, the truth of the matter is sometimes, even though we've been called to encourage one another, sometimes we don't do it. Sometimes, you face so much challenges and battles that, you know, sometimes when people say word of encouragement, because you are so beat down inside, you know, sometimes you don't even want to give thought to it. But there was a man in the Bible that, you know, I want to read to you this morning, that I want to share with you this morning. You know him. His name is David. David got to a point in his life. You know David, right? David was that shepherd boy that was anointed king. He was meant to be, you know, the next king of Israel. And the battle started. The battles on the inside, the battles on the outside started. At this point of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you can read the whole story at home. 1 Samuel chapter 30 is where this story is. David was at the point in his life when he was at the lowest. When I say the lowest, the very lowest. The first thing that happened to him, the current king at the time was seeking his life. You know, Saul actually made it his life mission to kill David. In fact, his own son died in the course of trying to kill David. That was how he was really wanting to kill David. So David was running. He was a fugitive at this point in his life. Secondly, I think at some point he found the Philistines. So he was hiding. He's kind of in the process gathered some men who are faithful, you know, fighting with him, you know, and they were hiding among the Philistines. At this point, the Philistines' Lord has just kicked him out. So it's like his place of hiding has been exposed, right? To make matters worse, he was living in Ziklag, and as they went out to do some battles, they returned home, the whole Ziklag was burned down. Their wives, his own wife, his own children, the men that were with him, everything they had been taken by the Amalekites at this point in his life. And they burned the city down. So you know the point at which this man was. And to crown it all, that was not enough, people of God. To crown it all, the men were so distraught and discouraged, they started to blame David, you know. They started saying, if not for this man, why did I even choose to follow him? I'm thinking that's some of the things that have been going through their mind. So the Bible says to the point that they were talking of stoning him. They actually want to kill him at that point. So he needed to do something, or he was a dead man. Whether from Saul or his own people who are supposed to be his biggest encouragement, right? The point I'm making this morning is there's some point in our lives when we don't even receive encouragement from the people in our lives. What did David do? Let's see 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Just read one verse. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can you read it with me? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. You are an encourager. And you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can encourage yourself. In fact, it's when you begin to encourage yourself, that is when you can give courage out. You cannot give what you don't have. Jesus was the biggest encourager who ever lived. If you look through the scriptures, the way he encouraged us, encouraged the disciples, you know, a very good one is when Peter was going to deny him. Jesus was still encouraging Peter. He knew he was going to do it. He told him, you're going to do it. And he says that after you have been restored, strengthen the brethren. After you have been restored, strengthen the brethren. You can look in Luke chapter 22. It says, after you have been restored, strengthen your brethren. You are going to be encouraged. But I need you to do it after you have encouraged yourself. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I'm asking you to don't dwell in that thinking of defeat. What people have said about you, circumstances that you are going through, you know. I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, I said it's the word of God that is the basis of our encouragement. Think about the faithfulness of God to you. That was what David did. He went back to God and he asked the priest, ask God for me. Can we go and recover? I want to go and fight. I want to go and get my wife back, my children back. Are we going to? He went to God. He didn't just say, okay, let's go, right? He went back to his source. God, the Bible calls God our God of encouragement. In 2 Corinthians, our God of encouragement. You need to keep going back to him. Praise the Lord, like David did. And the story ended well. The Bible says, if you read later on in that passage, I think verse 18, 19, it says that they went and they recovered all. Nothing was missing. All the wives, all the children, all their possessions. And even their enemies flee, and they even had more to take home. Praise the Lord. That is what, imagine if he has given up. If he did not, you know, revive that courage in himself. So I'm telling you this morning, We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we need to encourage other people. So, I want you to think with me for a moment. What if we all begin to do this verb, encourage? We begin to encourage ourselves. How much more we will accomplish in our spiritual life? As mothers here this morning, you begin to stand up every morning and show up. No matter the challenges, you continue to pray to God. You continue to serve in church. Despite what you are going through, because you know God is going to come through for you. Praise the Lord. What with all? Think with me. And I've told you already, our source is God. He knows that we can be an encourager. That's why he's calling us to be. And do you know why? Do you know why? How he's equipped us to do it? The Bible calls, in fact, Jesus, when Jesus was going, he says, I will send you somebody else. Paraclete is the Greek word, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the one that will comfort you, that will walk alongside you. And it will be, so he said, I will not leave you comfortless. What he's saying is, I will not leave you encourageless. We have the Holy Spirit right inside of us that is giving us that courage and that will give us the grace to encourage other people. Praise the Lord. So, because today is Mother's Day, as I round up this morning, I want to encourage you, all you mothers this morning. I know a lot have been said already to mothers. What is that source? What is that thing causing you to be discouraged? Is it that child? Is it that job? Is it that health situation? Is it the fear of the unknown of tomorrow? What is going to happen? I just want to encourage you this morning. It is well with you. It says in Romans 8 that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. He says you are a chosen generation in 1 Peter 2:9, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. You've been called to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his glorious light. He says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Hallelujah. You are doing great. That's what I want to tell you this morning. The Lord gave you those children because he knows that you are the best person for them. Praise the Lord. Be encouraged. Don't give up on those children, on those grandchildren. The Bible says joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Look forward. Look forward. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Praise the Lord. And if you are here this morning, you don't know the Lord. You cannot experience what you have not received. You cannot give out what you have not accepted. And that's the gift of salvation. So that the Holy Spirit, the encourager, the epitome of encourager himself can come and live inside of you. I want you to think about accepting the Lord as your Lord, the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I always say it's easy as ABC. You need to accept that you are a sinner. You need to believe that he died to take your sin away and to give you a new life. He died to give us life and life in abundance. I'm not talking of afterlife only, but good life right here. And he says you need to confess with the heart, the mouth, a man believes with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. You confess that he's Lord, you invite him into your lives. Or you want to rededicate your life to him this morning so that you can be encouraged from the inside. And you want to do this ministry of encouragement that has been given to us. Hallelujah. Father, I pray this morning.